All right, welcome to BitPunk FM Unwound. And yeah, did the classic thing where I started talking for 5 minutes and it wasn't recording. So now it is. I just finished listening up to Bowl After Bowl, episode 324 with Sir Spencer and Larian. And I gotta say, for like random people on the internet that listened to my previous episode and, you know, listen to my like Noster interactions, I don't think I've ever felt this like heard. I mean, Sir Spencer basically wrapped up exactly what I was talking about in like 5 minutes and probably expressed how I was feeling better than I did. So there's not much more to be said on this particular drama. Cause I think the hatchet, there was never any hatchet to begin with, but it definitely was buried a long time ago. At least for me. So, but it was pretty cool. Like I never had a lot of first experiences here in this podcasting world where I almost didn't publish that podcast because I was like, nah, this is too, you know, tomorrow I'm going to feel completely different about it. But I had recorded it. And then I was like, I'll just publish it. Like no one's listening to this anyway. And it turns out people are listening. And that was actually helpful for people. And the thing is like everybody's a noob when they start something new. And so really what I'm trying to do here is just document the things that are frustrating to me as someone who has, you know, taught people, in my case, hardware hacking. And, you know, I've seen this frustration with people just don't get, it's like, I'm telling them to solder this wire to this point, to that point. And to me, that's like, guys, this is what you do. Like hook up these wires and then it'll work. And you as an expert, I just mean someone who's been doing it for a while. You just realize what it's like to be a beginner and you don't quite make the connection. So I was glad to know that this is helping. So that was cool. I'm still kind of like a little bit in shock because it's like kind of a little bit humbling to feel, it's like a cool, honestly, it's just like a cool feeling to have made that, have someone kind of exactly understand what I said and then to really have taken it to heart and then incorporate it into what they were thinking. I mean, and all of this happened without meeting or coordination or it's just like a couple people swapping podcasts. So, I mean, that's a pretty cool, I mean, if there was anything that's like super encouraging to like keep doing this, it was probably like that experience because it was, I mean, that's pretty cool. Okay. I got a list here because actually there's quite a few things going on. So the thing that I want to say is that I can't remember who's pointed me this on Noster. I think it was probably Larian, but I think people are sleeping on some of the coolest features of podcasting 2.0. And the thing that blew my mind, there was like two things that happened this last week that blew my mind. One of them was completely new and the other one has been around for a while, but also just blew my mind. So there was this, which unfortunately I couldn't watch live, but there was this live streamed battle of the bands kind of thing. And I've only heard about it from other, I haven't had the chance to watch it, but having done some live video streaming from what it sounds like, Booberry and his crew just like knocked this out of the park. And I think the quote was like over 2.3 million sats were raised for a live stream video concert. I mean, that's pretty cool. So that is pretty cool. And that is actually like the new thing. But the thing that's blowing my mind even more is I was pointed to, and I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately, I was pointed to a music video. Actually, let me find it because I had it in Podverse. So I was in Podverse. Let's see. I'm going to pull it up. Okay. I guess this will have to do. Is that the name of the band? Music video from Death by Lions. Okay. This is blowing my mind because what this is a singular. So I looked at the RSS. It's a singular RSS feed. And there's one, right? Well, yeah, there's one item. And this one item is a video. And this video, even more specifically, this video is hosted by Cloudflare, but it's an M3U8 to a live stream video. So I talked about this in kind of previous episodes that I was trying out Cloudflare. But what is blowing my mind is that this is a music video that played in a podcast player. So Podverse played the video, and it has all the features of an audio podcast where you can boost, and like everything just works like an audio podcast as far as the value for value chapters, all that stuff. But it just happens to be video. And, you know, this is where like the light bulb went off for me, where it's like, holy crap, this is like a, this is basically like YouTube replacement. You know, I've been looking up some of this stuff, you know, I've randomly, the YouTube algorithm, you know, does feed you things. And, you know, and me searching up value for value stuff, it's feeding me videos of people complaining about YouTube. And it is kind of funny to watch now, because they're saying like, well, you know, the problem is I have to make this video and I just have to play within the, I have to color within the lines. Otherwise YouTube will demonetize me and I won't be able to make any money as a content creator, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just, it's like, wow, like this, you know, I knew this was going on for audio for a while, but to see the potential for this for video is kind of amazing. So you can basically, I think you could make a video feed and just have, you know, VODs that are up there and it would show up in Podverse and then you would just be able to watch like video. So, you know, the idea I would have then for like Sir Spencer and he was talking about making this video kind of tutorial. So there's like two comments I would have on this video tutorial. So one, that'd be amazing. But if it's released as a video podcast, that would be pretty cool. Cause then you would look in your, actually I have a bunch of things to say about this, but so if you just saw in your video, if you saw the feed in the video podcast, like episode one, how to install this, whatever. And he went, you know, but like that is communicating in the medium that someone would want to do. So if you say, you know, I don't think he's going to do this, but because he's like, he's walking the walk, but let's say he puts this up on YouTube. Well, putting it up on YouTube, is going to get more reach, but it's not communicating in that medium. So it's, you know, you know, if he decides to do it on YouTube, I'm not going to like judge him because it will have a bigger reach, but he also releases it as a podcast. Then someone who sees that and is going to instantly go, this is what I want to do. I want a video podcast just like this. And they'll watch that video podcast and then they'll know that it's possible because they're watching it right there. So that would be my one feedback for that video podcast. It'd be cool if that was released, as an RSS feed, maybe, you know, he's intending, I'm not sure. And then the other thing would be I do like the idea of video podcasting to help things. My only concern is having done this kind of training before is the software changes so quickly. So, case in point, I was complaining that I couldn't get Albi Hub installed on Start 9. And someone else left another issue saying they couldn't get installed. So I was like, oh, sweet. It's not just me. Guys, I pulled a boomer. It turns out that, at least on Windows 10, it came down as a zip file and I just had to unzip it. So I feel dumb. And so I closed the issue. I updated the issue on GitHub and I closed the issue and I tried to let the other guy know this is what you just have to do. So good news. I was able to install, Albi Hub on Start 9. And so the comment here is, if you make a video podcast and you go through all that effort, and it is a lot of effort to make a video podcast, and then, you know, whatever software you're showing tends to update, whatever the UI or something, or it looks different on, you know, this browser or that browser. It's, it's like kind of a pain to like keep maintained. Cause the issue that I had is that an Albi Hub did have a little video for, installing onto Start 09, which I followed to the T, and it did not include the step of unzipping it. And this is where I just got stuck. And I kind of, you know, I should have known better, you know, to like check it, but I was just kind of like following this guide and, it didn't say to unzip it. And so, you know, so there's unfortunately catch 22 doing some of the video things just to think about. I would encourage you to think about how to make sure you can update this video thing that you're going to spend a lot of time on. It sounds like you're spending a lot of time on, but just like how to do it in a way where someone releases a new version. Do you want to be going back and updating all this? And it's a tough, problem. The way we did it with the hardware training is we'd be releasing hardware training like every 6 months or maybe a year. And so it kind of was like on a refresh cycle that kind of kept it. The other thing that we had the advantage of is that we were using a virtual machine which you probably can't do in this case. So we can kind of control the software versions a little more. But yeah. Okay. So, oh, okay. So then AlbiHub, I got that fixed. So success. But then the problem is I'm running C. So in start nine, I was running C Lightning, and AlbiHub apparently doesn't work with C Lightning. It only works with LND. So I had to install LND, and that's not the node that everything is going to. So it's like a new node. And then I tried to open a channel on AlbiHub, and none of the channels opened. So I tried to like send an invoice. I tried, you know, whatever reason the QR code didn't work with, I just had some like Strike funds. So I tried that. Strike didn't recognize the QR code to open the channel. I tried to send sats from my other node that's on the same start nine to do that. And it looked like it may be sent, but AlbiHub didn't register. And then I even tried an on-chain payment that I think went through, and AlbiHub still didn't recognize the channel being open. So I have AlbiHub. It's installed in start nine. It's connected to my Albi, whatever web account, but I'm stuck at the channel opening. So I haven't had time to investigate that. And I probably won't have a chance for another couple weeks here because there is, next week I'm going to Prague to talk to a hackers conference, Paralenopolis. And there's going to be a bunch of like anarchists there. And I'm going to be talking about I think my talk is titled Rewinding the Future, the Cultural Anarchism of Cassettes. And I'm going to be talking about, so I've like been over preparing. I have like probably 2 hours of stuff that I have to like cut down to a 45 minute talk. But I have been just like consuming every book, everything, every reading about cassettes. And how they overthrew government. So there's like some crazy examples of like the Iranian Revolution, cassettes played in this. There are examples in, of course, rap and hip hop culture. I've got a great book, A Mixtape Manifesto by Jared Ball, that is like super charged. I mean, if you want to talk about a guy who's like walking the walk, check out Jared Ball. He's got some strong words to say about cassettes. So there's a bunch of like kind of cultural things, and then there's a bunch of technical things that I did. So I did like storing data at a higher speed to cassettes. I've got this cool secret thing, which I'll announce there. And then what I'm trying to do, what I really want to like kind of announce, is what I've been calling this physical item tag. Now, what I'm like so deep in making these slides that this is like all I've been thinking about. You know, I've been talking about this physical item tag. I want to have an NFC on a cassette or a CD or a vinyl record. You know, there's also some other people on Noster that really like this idea. So, Laurian also, you know, there was some people were saying, oh, this is actually pretty cool. And so the random guy, NPC on Noster, who does a lot of vinyl. I think he's a sound engineer for British radio show, maybe. But anyway, he does this streaming thing. You should check him out, where he plays a bunch of vinyl records. He's got a pretty cool setup on zap.stream. And his, you know, he made this kind of like cheeky, to use the English term, joke about like, you know, it'd be cool if like the sound engineers actually got kind of noticed. And then I was kind of like, well, you know, I'm thinking about this tag. You know, basically you could put the sound engineer as a split on a record. And you know, it was like, oh, that'd be cool. You know, cause these guys kind of get paid by a day rate or whatever, they're contractors, but like they kind of get part of that value. And I'm not suggesting like overtake it or whatever, but it's just like, oh, like you see the guy as a split. And I think this is already being done, I think, by the value for value guys. I think there's a guy, Open Mic and Phantom Power Media. So these guys ran like the Battle for the Bands thing, or Bitcoin Bands at Nashville, Bitcoin Nashville. And so I think those guys were in the split. So like the sound guys or whatever, and the streaming companies, these guys were like in the splits for the artists. So yeah, this is kind of like what I'd like to do with the physical item tag. Now, the thing is, I think I want to rebrand it because there's like four people that know about the physical item tag. So I had the perfect time to rebrand it. And I want to call it a mix, M-I-X. The problem is the acronym doesn't really work out, but I think it can call it like medium item tag. And if you took the T and kind of like rotated it 45 degree, it'd be an X. Okay. Because it, I think it's going to be a lot cooler if it's a, you know, like a mixtape and then the tags mix. And that's basically what I'm trying to do here is make this mixtape. That's a little cooler than calling it pit. So I'm going to call it mix from now on. So all of the four people that knew about pit, we still have time to call it mix. And I did actually look into this a little bit more, and what there's a few challenges that I actually, every time I look into some of this podcasting stuff, there's a little challenges along the way. But yeah, I was like Sir Spencer brought out, you know, like this is, I think this is the way, you know, I'm focused on here. I'm coming at it from a different angle from other people. I've got different priorities, but, you know, I see the rainbow. I see the pot of gold. Okay. So here there's a couple of issues. One is this really needs the support of podcast clients, because I can put the data, imagine I get the data on the NFC tag. The podcast client has to somehow recognize it. And I looked in, you know, and the one thing I was like, well, how come I can't like link someone to a podcast episode? And it blew my mind that this was like an unsolved problem on Android. And so there's I think a bunch of people have tried something like one click on Android. This, I think he's like some podcasting OG. He tried to do this thing, but apparently it was like a proprietary thing. So people didn't like it. And I was just listening to Adam Curry talk about it today with this, I think it's New Media Tech is the, anyway, but they mentioned that they use episode.fm, and on episode.fm, you can link to an episode and then it has a bunch of links to all the different podcast players. And so that's not a horrible idea. So on the NFC tag, I could, for example, just use an episode.fm link. So that the other problem with NFC is like, what is actually supported? And so a URL opener is like supported on both Android and Apple. So you could tap the cassette and it would go to episode.fm, and it would, then you'd open up that particular episode in that podcast, and then you'd be able to boost it just like you normally could. I think, however, you may have to subscribe to it first. That's another wrinkle, which I wasn't aware. It's like podcast players, some of them apparently, you know, don't like the idea of listening to podcasts maybe without being subscribed. And so that's a whole, you know, the standard is very open. And so there's like some of this edge case behavior. So, so that could do it without changing the spec. And so I may just experiment with this idea. Do I really need to add the spec? If I add this extra tag, the issue I think would be, say if my original idea was to take the XML, put it in the tag, and then you would scan it, the podcast player would open it and then, you know, look at it, but it kind of has to assume it's online anyway to make the boost. So, yeah, so I'm not quite sure maybe if it's needed to make the whole mix tag, I may do it any, what I might do is the NFC tags can actually have multiple items, even though the operating systems only really read the first one. Is in the first one, I may put the episode.fm link. I may mask it through Bitpunk FM, just so like I can, I don't know. I don't really want to track it, but in the case that URL changes, like at least the URL, I can like redirect the URL. So I may do that. And then on the second item, I may put the splits, just so someone, if they looked at the NFC tag, they could actually see like what the splits were supposed to be. I don't know. So anyway, all this is to say is I want to talk about this in this hacker conference to these anarchists, because I guarantee that majority of them do not know what's going on in the, what I will call the value for value verse. Like they not, you know, I just happen to be at Bitcoin Nashville, and I happen to be, because I didn't want to listen. I completely blew off the day when Orange Man was speaking to go to the concert, which I thought was much more baller. And I just happened to be in the room where all these things were like talking and people were doing these things. And I just happened to be there. And this is where I got super clued in to all the cool stuff that was going on. So I guarantee that most of these people that I'm going to talk to in Prague next week, you know, some of them are probably, you know, tip of the spear of this kind of stuff, but I think most of them don't know what's going on. So I kind of want to use that opportunity to talk about, hey, this is like, because the whole gist of this talk that I'm giving is that, you know, cassettes are this underground, unlicensed, completely, you know, kind of uncensorable medium, a physical medium. That basically what I've come to realize by being dragged into this podcasting 2.0 space is that this is the exact digital equivalent of cassettes. And so it just happened to really line up like this. So I want to make this comparison that, hey, you know, I'm not just, you know, there's going to be a little bit of fun, a little bit of nostalgia with cassettes, whatever, but I want to make the comparison that, hey, what I'm trying to do is show how you can bridge both worlds. Right here, I'm having this cassette. It's going to have this NFC sticker on it to show you, to link you to the, actual podcast episode. Maybe podcast index would be a better one to look. I'll like it. But anyway, it'll link you to the podcast episode where then you can interact with it digitally. And then, you know, all the goodness that's happening there. So I think it's a nice way to bridge those two worlds. And the messaging is really the same. I mean, that's like, they're very similar, I think, in my mind that, you know, I guess I'm still working on like the exact phrasing of how to say it, but basically, you know, I wanted to make these cassette things as kind of this underground press, this underground zine. And, you know, that's kind of why I'm like self-hosting and doing this way. And it's lining up pretty well. And so that's why, you know, that's why when all the stuff kind of kicked off last week, it's like, yeah, I can see where this is going. I see the goal, because this underground way of distributing podcasts is like perfectly lining up with, it's perfectly lining up with mixtape culture. And, you know, so that's basically the last thing that I want to talk about here is just, you know, so far with the like main cassette thing, which is just the bitpunk.fm, I have been mainly having people kind of like say they want to, you know, hey, do you know, submit something. And a lot of the musicians are submitting stuff that they've already like published, which is cool. You know, like the first person, Depot Logic, that dude, like that was true mixtape. That guy dropped, I got unreleased tracks. So those, if you want to listen to like, he calls it like a deep house, Chicago deep house. So I'm actually not that great with like music genres, to be honest, but I'm learning. Anyway, so he calls it Chicago deep house. Those three tracks only exist on that episode. And so, on that one, I think I screwed up. That was the first one I did. I think I screwed up the boost and all that stuff, but I at least try to give them credit where I can do. But most in the second and third one, people were pointing me to stuff they had already published. And so anyway, what I'm thinking now is considering, cause I didn't really know the culture. I didn't really know how this, you know, music like tends to get people sued and stuff like this. But I'm kind of like testing the waters, but the conclusion I'm come to now, and then people should let me know this is not the right thing, is that, you know, what I'm thinking about doing now is going to Ellen Beats, finding music that I like. And then I think I'm just going to put them on the tape. And then obviously on the podcast, I'm going to add their splits, the value time splits. And what I do for the J cards is I put some sort of contact or QR code information so people can see the artist, get more information. And then the only tricky part here is like, if I pick some random artist, I like to mail tapes to the artist. So it's got, you know, I'll have to be like somehow contact the artist, I guess through Boost and tell them, hey, I picked your music for this music show. I put it on tape. I gave it to some people, you know, if you give me your address, I use SimpleX, and then I'll mail you a cassette. And so speaking of, I need to get in contact with Sir Spencer, because if they give me, Sir Spencer and Laurie, and give me an address, I will reserve this latest cassette. I will send you one. So get in contact. We have to get in contact, and I'll mail you a cassette for being awesome. Okay. So yeah. So I think I'm just going to take Ellen Beats music, credit the artists, trying to mix it in. And then that's kind of like true mixtape style. You know, I still kind of want people to volunteer to submit the project. I feel that adds, you know, a little bit of, I don't know. It just kind of feels to me like you are, you kind of, I mean, I think I'd be okay if I pick Alan Beast's music and the artist's kind of cool and they kind of, you know, they're not going to have an issue with it if I add the splits and everything. But it'd also be cool, like, if you just say, hey, you want to do it. Basically all of this is to get people to be more creative. And there are people who I think have creative things, poetry, found sound, a lot of audio content, and trying to get them to like just submit it and make something of it. They probably, you know, maybe it's not enough to like, they have a full thing, but a lot of people I've talked to have like, oh yeah, I've got a poem that I wrote like 3 years ago and they don't have like an outlet to do it. And I'm like, oh, let's do it. And then I'm suggesting to some of these poets, well, you know, do you want me to collaborate? I can try to like add some sound around it, or do you just want to read it? So it's really, I'm just trying to encourage audio creativity for people who, I mean, obviously musicians, they are all on top of it, but some of these other things like, yeah, kind of more like spoken word stuff or noise. Some people maybe are interested in it, but haven't yet tried it. And those are the people I'm actually trying to like encourage to submit. You know, obviously if you have something, you feel free to submit it, but like trying to get people over that hump of like, oh, let's submit it. So there was actually pretty cool. One of my real life in-person colleagues put a poem on there and so she read it and I was like, hey, let's do it. We'll keep you anonymous. This is what will happen. And yeah, she was totally on board. So that was pretty cool. I mean, I thought that was nice. So yeah, but I'll start to look through the Ellen Beats catalog and try to find some cool artists. And, you know, as Jared Ball says, from Mixtape Manifesto, you know, I mix what I like and we'll keep this going. Okay. Well, I think that's all I had. Like I said, much more calm. So we'll see. I'll probably be back on when I get back from Prague. I'll let people know how the value for value evangelism goes to a bunch of anarchist types. I try to get people excited about cassettes and value for value podcasting. And wish me luck. All right. I'll talk to you next time.